Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Chloe Wordsworth. And if the name sounds familiar, it is because Chloe was with us a couple of months ago. And she's back again because we had some problems making a proper connection. And we had a very shortened program. I understand Chloe's just got back from India, so we'll ask what she's been doing. But let me first tell you that she is the founder of the Resonance Repatterning Institute, and she teaches people to generate the resonance of quantum change for themselves, for their friends and their family. In case you wonder, resonance repatterning is also known as holographic repatterning. So Chloe, are you with us?
I am right here, yes.
And how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes, on top of the world.
Was your visit to India one of a private nature or for business reasons?
I go to India every year. I have my spiritual path. I have my spiritual teachers over there, and it's a retreat from life where I get to really live and do my spiritual life the way I'd love to, you know, completely separate from the world and just spend a lot of time meditating and so on.
Right. I think the Indian people seem to be very receptive spiritually. I couldn't help wondering whether you were actually doing some talks over there.
Yes, no. I don't do anything worldly. It's my time out from the world.
Yes. Well, you need a break. My youngest son goes to India at least once a year.
Oh,
and
does he?
And he goes to the Sai Baba Ashram.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, I've never been there myself.
Yes. I think he his last life was in India. He exhibits a lot of interests and things in his nature that would suggest that. Anyway,
yes.
In case there are people listening that didn't hear the shortened broadcast we had earlier, it would be nice for you to tell us your background, that is, during your childhood, which clearly seems to have had a profound effect on you. And I wondered, having read what you did during your childhood, whether your parents actually practiced homeopathy, because I believe they had a feeling for natural sort of remedies.
Yes, it's true. I was very, very fortunate in my childhood because my parents were highly conscious, and we're talking about, you know, in the late 30s, early 40s, I was born in 1942, and they believed in organic farming at a time when that was like very unusual, and they also were into natural healing. So all of us, again in the early 40s, we were all brought up with no vaccinations, no pharmaceutical drugs, and you know, if we got chickenpox or something like that, we were just put on naturopathic systems. So yes, that might include some homeopathic remedies or the cell salts, or we might go on juices for a day or two, or have compresses. If we got tonsillitis, we just got a compress around our throats, and you know, within a couple of days we get better.
They also had
very unusual ideas about education. So we were brought up with no exams, no tests, and a lot of freedom to study and to learn what we wanted to learn, and that classes needed to be interesting, and we were free to just go outside and play whenever we wanted to, and lots of free play. So, and very creative. And so the education, a lot of dancing and music and acting and things like that. So it was a very creative upbringing. My parents just believed that, you know, when people wanted to study, they would study when they were ready to go. And so they just didn't worry that, you know, if you were behind in writing or in math, they just thought it was just fine, that when the time came was right, you would learn it in your own time. So it was a very, you could say, a very holistic education. And definitely in terms of healing, which is what I got into, it was really the foundation for my 40 years of interest in alternative healing.
Right. Did you nevertheless feel at some stage disadvantaged because you didn't have say, a program of education, or were you able to quickly sort of catch up on it?
Oh, yes. No, as soon as I decided to start studying, I went to my the school actually closed. It was a community as well. It closed down when I was about 12, 13. So at that point, I went to other schools. And no, I had absolutely no problem being right up at the top with people. But, you know, if I wasn't interested, I'd come bottom in a class. And if I was fascinated, I'd come top. And my parents just accepted it. They didn't. There was no kind of fears or judgments about anything. In fact, I always used to come bottom in my French class, but when I went to university, I studied French and used to come top.
Well, I know that.
So
they were certainly very forward-thinking for the time of
very forward-thinking,
weren't they?
Yes, very now, forward-thinking.
You've written a book called Quantum Change Made Easy, about achieving the best you are.
Yes.
In connection with that, you talk of unconscious patterns of each person.
Yes.
Can you explain what that means in relationship to your interests?
Yes. So what happens is we all have experiences, whether it's in the womb or a birth process. A lot of people don't realize that they've had a lot of birth process trauma. And in our infancy and childhood, when our, what I call our basic life needs weren't met, you know, for instance, I've actually listed five basic life needs, which is the need for security, and many children, many infants don't get that sense of security, of really feeling cared for besides, you know, yes, they're given their food, but do they feel that everything is provided? Are they protected? Do they feel welcome? Do they feel they belong? And then a second basic life need is a physical need for health and energy. And receiving the pure air we need and the living organic foods we need and the warmth and movement and sleep that we need. And the third need is the need to achieve our best and to manifest our potential. And again, many of us in our childhood, we're pushed to achieve what the parents want for us rather than just being valued for who we are and being supported in manifesting our potential. And then the fifth one is that the fourth one that I list here is the need for love and respect in relationship. And again, many of us don't receive that. We don't feel worthy of being loved. We don't have the close, affectionate, caring bonding that we needed. We don't feel that we're enough just in who we are. We don't receive the warmth and the relaxed eye contact and touch that we need. We don't feel protected from harm. Our boundaries are often invaded. So there are many, many aspects of that need for love and respect that we didn't have as infants. And finally, there's the need for purpose and spiritual meaning and love and happiness from within ourselves. So again, how many of us really got to live our truth and know our truth and have that divinity within ourselves just supported. So when these needs are not met, we go into constriction and tension, and we begin to resonate with not having our needs, our basic needs in life met. So of course this is going to create patterns, what these unconscious patterns. It's not just one pattern, you know, I am unlovable. It's a variety of patterns that we begin to resonate with. And what we resonate with is what we're going to attract to ourselves or experience. So, you know, if we didn't have loving bonding with our mother or our father or our siblings even, then we don't resonate with loving bonding and loving touch. So if we don't resonate with it, how can we attract it? So then we get into relationships where we don't feel respected, we feel even abused, we don't feel touched, we don't feel seen, we don't feel welcomed, and plus many, many other patterns, and these interfere in every aspect of our life, not only our relationships, but it may then interfere with achieving our best. And so you can see kind of like an octopus, it spreads out into many different patterns in our life that we can see. And so, yes, we need to be able to identify these patterns and then change our resonance with the negative ones so that we can then resonate with the positive.
And it's your system of resonance repatterning, presumably, that helps people to do that.
That's exactly it. Yes. So you see, actually, I've spent 40 years in the alternative or complementary healthcare field, and I was an acupuncturist. I had my own private practice for 8 or 10 years, and a polarity therapist, and cranial sacral, and did all the body work, the emotional work, the mental work, and I was always searching what is the common denominator that allows people to heal. And I realized that it wasn't just about healing of the physical body, it's really what is the common denominator that allows us to create change, positive change, in any area of our life. And healing is just, physical healing is just one area that we're all wanting healing. It's one of the needs is to be have physical health and energy. So yes, I was, you know, when I was working in the complementary healthcare field, that was obviously a big one, that people would come in with not feeling physically full of energy in life and physical health. But then I discovered that it was so much more than the physical. There's the emotional aspect and the mental blueprint that really is causing any physical problem we have is caused by the mental blueprint, the mental patterns, the mental emotional patterns, and also what we call the spirit level patterns. And so bit by bit then, I began to, over time, develop this system of resonance repatterning where I could go right to the core of any problem someone has. I could go right to the core and find out what was the resonance, what is the resonance that is attracting the negative and stopping them from attracting the positive. And as I did this with my clients, they started getting extraordinary changes in their health and their mental state and their depressions and all sorts of things. They just started to go. And then, of course, I began to teach it and write the manuals so that other students and other people who are interested in creating positive change for themselves, that they could easily and quickly at any moment in time shift that negative resonance and begin to attract the positive that we're all wanting.
Right. Do you think that everyone has the potential to do that, to change their patterns?
Well, everybody has the potential to do that. Whether they have the interest to do it is quite something else. So certainly all the clients I ever saw, it was so effortless and easy and kind of exciting to identify these patterns that they weren't even conscious of, because I've written like 10 manuals and I could literally, using applied kinesiology, find out exactly where the pattern was in which manual and identify it. And then my clients would say, wow, that's the story of my life. And in, you know, 2 minutes flat, we were identifying all the various patterns. And I once had a psychiatrist, and it was my first session with her, and using the system and just going to exactly what her system, her body-mind system needed, using this applied kinesiology, which allows us to access her field. And within 10 minutes, she just said, stop a moment. She said, I can't believe this. I've had 5 years of psychoanalysis, and you, in 10 minutes, you've come up with all my core issues. But more than that, it wasn't just about talking. It was about being able to shift them so that she could change her resonance and do something differently, be different, turn up differently in her life and in her relationships. And that's, of course, what's so exciting. So then, of course, they wanted to study it. They weren't just, some of them just liked receiving it, like the psychiatrist. She had her job and she didn't want to study it for herself, but she just wanted to come and have sessions with me every week. But some people, they just say, no, I want to learn this. I want to be able to do this with my husband or my wife or my children or my friends. And so, yes, and then I created all the seminars so people could learn it. And the people who want to learn it, they come. And the people who want sessions, they go and have sessions. And then there are people who have no interest whatsoever.
Right, as always, yes. But give us an example, if you wouldn't mind, of how you would help someone who had a feeling, say, of the lack of love.
Well, let's say, for instance, here's an example, because sometimes a person will come in and it doesn't necessarily in their session come up directly a lack of love. So, for instance, let me take an example here of a man. He was a runner, and he would always come second in all the races he ran. He could never break any records, and would always come second, would never come first. So that was the problem that he came in with. So then what I do is we have what we call the mandala. And there are six aspects on this circle that are the cause of any problem you have. It's going to be one of those six things that we need to go to. So with him, his practitioner, it actually wasn't my client, his practitioner checked out exactly what he needed, and I don't have all the details, but let's say one of the things is problems into opportunities. And so that will take you to a particular page where you go to all the details on the problem. What is the problem? What's the negative feeling that you're resonating with? What are you afraid of? What's the negative attitude that's keeping you blocked? Is there any weakness in yourself that has something to do with the problem or an area of stress? The brain wave and the brain area may come in. Some conflict where we're not living our truth. And then you might need to go to the opportunity of the problem, which is what do you want instead of the problem? See, most people are really stuck in their problems, and they never ask themselves, what do I want instead of this problem?
Yeah.
And we need to then resonate with what we want instead. And then there's this dynamic edge of conscious choice, this point of choice. Do you really want this change? And people say yes, and they have to say, I want, choose, and I'm ready for, and they name what they want, and they don't resonate with that. So people are saying they want change, but they actually don't resonate with change. And then there are many other things we muscle check to see what you need in the opportunity, in terms of many kind of details. Again, getting all the patterns clear. Now, what came up with this man, which is another step on the mandala, is the actual repatternings, which are very particular. They're repatternings on a particular subject matter. So what he needed was a parental repatterning, and it came up then all about his father. And what happened was he said, oh, yes, with my, and it's like, what was the negative message you got from your father at a particular age? And I think he was about, you know, 8, 9, somewhere around there. And he said, wow, he said, my father always used to tell me, you're really good at running, but you'll never make it to the top. You'll never be the first. And he then resonated with that father message, which is all about, again, the love of the father and the respect and value and so on. Many other different patterns came up with that, where he just didn't feel valued by his father, didn't feel loved by him, didn't feel respected by him. So what you're seeing is that the running problem was just the tip of the iceberg. The 9/10 of the iceberg, which is hidden by the water, was all this whole unconscious pattern around the father and the issues around love, relationship, and that you're never going to be the best. So once he changed his resonance with all of that, so he was able to let go of that old unconscious belief that he got from his father, he phoned up his practitioner about 3 weeks later, and he said, guess what? I not only came first, but I broke 3 records. He broke an Australian record, a South African record, and somewhere else he broke. But more than that, so that was just the surface, which is, yes, we always want to achieve the best we are. But the second thing was, he said that he felt good about himself for the first time, that he was now valuing himself, feeling good about himself. Well, then, of course, that impacts your relationships. Because if you resonate with feeling good about yourself, you attract someone who feels good about you and that you feel good about them.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, the,
right, you mentioned resonance muscle checking,
yes,
which you tell us verifies frequencies with the life-enhancing frequencies we do not resonate with. Now, what exactly is resonance muscle checking?
Yes, well, there's a system called applied kinesiology, which has been developed some time ago in the 60s, and it's used by chiropractors. Many chiropractors use it, and healthcare professionals, and Touch for Health people, and many other people use this system of the strength and the relaxation of a muscle to give us information about the person's system. So in Touch for Health, they use it to give them information about the meridian system. And physical therapists who use it, and certain osteopaths, they will use the strength and the relaxation of the muscle to find out if there's a nerve impulse going to a particular muscle. So if they press on a leg muscle, they press on an arm muscle, and it goes weak, it means that there's not that nerve impulse going to that particular muscle. And I started using and playing around with this applied kinesiology and wondering what is it really about. And as I developed resonance repatterning, I realized that the strength and the relaxation of a muscle actually relates to our autonomic nervous system. Because the autonomic nervous system, it is what runs the body-mind system on the unconscious levels. You know, we don't have to think about beating our heart or about breathing. It simply goes on automatically. Well, it's the autonomic nervous system that makes it go on automatically. If it weren't for our autonomic nervous system, we'd have to think about, oh, I better take another breath now. So about 90% of what's going on in our body is unconscious. It's being run by the autonomic nervous system. So it means that if I need to run, the autonomic nervous system will get my adrenaline going so I have the energy to run or to run away from something dangerous. And when I need to calm down and laugh and have fun, my parasympathetic, that the PNS, autonomic nervous system, will relax me and calm me and free me of tension so I can bond and relax and have fun. So everything is being run then by the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. The nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, also knows what's going on energetically in our meridian system, in our chakra system. It knows what's going on in the brain. It kind of knows what's happening everywhere. It has to do that in order for us to survive. So what I realized was that we can use this muscle checking to find out exactly what we need for our greatest health. What's going to allow us to be happy and relaxed and to value ourselves and feel energized and feel healthy and so on, that we can use this on-off, this strong, relaxed muscle check response to access the autonomic nervous system for that information. So I can muscle check, for instance, when I'm at the health food store, it would be really beneficial for my health to have broccoli this week. And then I can check on the strength or the relaxation of the muscle, and if it goes weak, it's no. And if the muscle response is strong, it means yes, broccoli is going to bring me more coherence this week. So that's a very simple example, but then it can go into modalities. So I've written a whole book on all the healing modalities I know, in terms of breath, in terms of movements, in terms of sound and light and color and energy contacts and so on, so that anybody who learns this on-off muscle response, they can muscle check what modality is going to create more energy for them, is going to help them to become happier and relaxed and to feel more energized and to feel more loving. And they can just check through the modalities to find out what they need. And then I realized that more than that, I can use this on-off of the muscle response to find out these unconscious patterns of what we resonate with and how that resonance can move on through. So this is how it developed. We have what we call the coherence muscle check, which is to find out what modality we need or what we need that will make us feel fantastic and on top of the world. And we also then have the resonance check, where I can find out, do you resonate with I'm intelligent, I'm successful, I can break any record I want, I can, you know, what are we, all the things we want, do we resonate with them? Because if we don't resonate, we're not going to attract them, we're not going to experience them. So people want relationship, but do they resonate with relationship? It's the big question, isn't it?
Yes, yes, that's very interesting. Now, let's just go back on something you said there, which might need clarifying. When you spoke of the muscle checking, and then you said you could understand from that, say, for example, you might need broccoli at that time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get that response and know exactly what it is you need?
Well, again, the on-off muscles, the autonomic nervous system controls all our 600 muscles. So like, you know, if you need to run away from a danger, for example, the autonomic nervous system will send all the messages to speed up your heartbeat, to get your breath speeded up, to get the adrenaline pumping, so you have the energy to run away from a danger. And then the muscles will respond. Every muscle is always responding to the autonomic nervous system. So in the same way, if I ask myself a question, is what I call a prompt, I can say, you know, broccoli will be like a healing modality for me this week, and then I can muscle check on an arm muscle, or I use my finger muscles, and I can just use my finger muscle to check, and I press on the finger muscle, and if it stays strong, it's like, yes, broccoli will energize you. It will bring coherence for you. If I press on the finger muscle and it goes weak, then it means, no, you can have it, but it's not going to be the best, most energizing thing for you this week. And
right.
And so, yes, it's the muscles are just responding to any message that you give your autonomic nervous system.
That's very interesting.
So I can say, for instance, if I was giving you a session, I could go to the mandala, which has all the six major areas that will allow you to create the change that you want in your life. And I can say, Mike, do you like being called Mike or Michael?
Oh, Mike will be fine. Yeah.
Mike? Okay, I can say, Mike, we need to go to problems into opportunities, and then I can press on my finger muscle, and I know. So problems, if going to problems into opportunities for you is not going to be the most beneficial thing. Well, most psychology, they spend years just talking about problems. Whereas, you know, if I was giving you a session, the answer is no, don't go to problems. You want me to go to one of the other six areas. That's what's going to be most energizing and healing for you.
Right, yes, I understand what you mean now. Do we perhaps start off when we feel we need a certain thing? By using our intuition. I mean, are we sort of halfway there, maybe, because we almost realize what we want without asking?
Well, you know, intuition is an interesting thing. Intuition comes and goes according to our day. So, for instance, if you had an argument, someone's had an argument with their wife or their husband, their intuition is going to be affected by that, isn't it? And if you're feeling depressed, your intuition is not going to be enlivened. You're not going to really be able to get in touch with your intuition. So our intuition is definitely affected by our emotions. Now, in resonance rehab patterning, we have what's called coherent and non-coherent. As we spiral up to higher energy states of coherence and well-being, and that means that we resonate with everything that's positive, and we're moving out of non-coherence, of upsetness and tension and being reactive and being angry and blaming and complaining and being depressed or afraid. So as we move out of these non-coherent states and we move more and more into coherent states of emotion and mind, our intuition gets better and better. But I don't know, of course, are you knowledgeable on the chakra system? Are your audience, are they knowledgeable on chakras?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Well, if you look at the chakras, the five basic chakras, which is the base of the spine, the pelvis, the solar plexus, the heart, and then the throat chakra, the intuition, and then the brow chakra, of course, you've got your higher centers, your intuition will vary according to which chakra you are focused on. So, for instance, if you're in the solar plexus chakra, what we call the fire chakra, that's your gut feelings. Fire chakra, the fire, solar plexus controls digestion. So your intuition at that level will be a gut feeling. If you're at the pelvic chakra, it will be a deep feeling sense of things. You'll just feel this is the right thing for you. If it's at the heart chakra level, it will be an uplifting sense, that when your intuition, when you think of the right thing, you'll feel a sense of upliftment.
Yes.
Ether and brow chakra, now you're moving into a much higher, more refined intuition. But your chakras are affected by your moods. So if you're in a bad mood, or you get out of bed the wrong side, or you have an argument, or somebody comes in front of you on the freeway and you almost have an accident, you're not going to be very much in touch with the coherent aspect of your chakras, and your intuition is going to go out of the window. But muscle checking, you always have your finger muscles with you. So you can always check exactly what you need, because muscle checking is not affected by your moods. You always have this strong, relaxed response of your muscles, and you put your question to your autonomic nervous system, and bingo, you check on your finger muscles and you can get exactly what you need.
Right. So in that event, how does muscle checking indicate the right color vibration that you need?
Yes, well, we have many, many different modalities for color and light. And so again, in resonance repatterning, what we do is we identify the patterns. So if you're having a 10-minute session, we'll spend 10 minutes identifying the patterns that you don't resonate with, and also the patterns, the positive patterns that you need to resonate with to bring about healing and energy and well-being. And then we go to the modalities, and we check out exactly which modality will be most helpful and efficient in shifting all these resonance patterns. So then you would go, the practitioner will go to the modality book, and let's say they would check on, we've got, I think, 7 major areas of modalities, and let's say they muscle check their finger muscle that this person needed color and light. And they get a yes. The muscle response is strong. So now they've got a list of about 10 different things for color and light. So and we have many modalities. We have what we call the color filter glasses, which I think is one of the most powerful of the color modalities, where literally you can muscle check which color frequency to put for which eye. And it may be you need pink in your right eye and green in your left eye, or you may need green in your left eye but no color, nothing in your right eye. And that you then put that on, and you're taking that color frequency in directly to your hypothalamus, which controls all the major glands of your body, controls all the muscles of the body, and it begins to just shift. It also creates, you can actually almost feel it creating like new neural pathways in your brain. And so yes, that is one very, very powerful modality, which, you know, we sell to people. People can go to the resonancerepatterning.net website and to the e-store, and you can buy our what we call the Color Your World glasses. And people, oh gosh, children, people who have dyslexia, they can wear the blue lenses, and often then they can read without dyslexia. You get some very dramatic results from the color and the glasses. But you may need something more specific. You may need what we call the Color Your World torch, which is a flashlight with a crystal, and then you put the color lens into that, and you may need that on a gingin point or an acupuncture point or one of your cranial bones of your skull or on one of your chakras. So those are just two of the major modalities for color, but there are lots more besides that.
Yes. What would you say is the most powerful way of producing the color that you need?
Yes, well, I think the Color Your World glasses are extraordinary. I use them all the time because it just shifts the way you see life. And it's like we're seeing our world through very dark lenses. And as you people literally, I'll give you an example of this. This was amazing. I was giving a session in a seminar to a French woman who, and it was a big class of about 40 people, and they all knew each other very, very well. And in her session, her problem was that she didn't like people. She was very, very critical and judgmental of people. And I said, well, are you critical and judgmental of, and you don't like all the people here? She said, yeah, I don't like anybody. And everybody in the class started laughing because she's known them for a long time. Yes, you know, they've been taking seminars. And I said, no, I'll find everything to criticize about each person in this room. And that criticizing people in that way stops me from liking them. And so we gathered all her negative resonance little patterns here, and then the modality took us to the color your world glasses. And I cannot remember which color she had on. It could have been green or pink or something like that. She put these glasses on, and she looked around the room and she said, I love everybody. I can't believe I even said that. I just can't even believe that. And she almost couldn't believe the session that she'd had, that she'd said any of those things, because it was like instantaneously she just looked around and saw everything that was positive in each person in the room. And then when that was finished, I muscle checked when she was finished with that. She only needed to wear them for a couple of minutes. Then we went back and rechecked all her resonance statements. And she was off for the negative. She no longer resonated with the negative. She was no longer attracting that to her. And all the positives, her muscle check was now strong for that she resonated with the positive. And she was never the same since. I mean, I still know her. And she still has this positive attitude to people and seeing what's positive about them with discrimination. She now, instead of criticizing, yes, she's very discriminating and she can see people's problems, but she doesn't go into criticism and blame anymore.
That's truly amazing.
Yeah.
How do you cope with people who have a lot of fear, say even to the extent, go to the extreme, say someone who was suicidal?
Yes, I've worked with a lot of people who've been suicidal, and other practitioners have as well. And you know, the thing is, whatever the problem, whether it's someone who's feeling terrified or someone feeling suicidal or depression or anger or being reactive with your husband or whatever it may be, these are all the tip of the iceberg. The problem is just a little tiny tip. And then whatever that problem is, it's the same process. This is what's so amazing about resonance repatterning, because it's not that one problem is bigger than another problem. It's just you still need to find out what are the resonance patterns underneath the person feeling suicidal. And as soon as you discover that, and then you check their resonance with those negative patterns, and you identify the positive patterns, again with the muscle checking, the positive pattern they need, and lo and behold, they don't resonate with the positive, and that's why they don't have it. And then you check on the modality they need, and you shift those patterns on through, and the suicide just shifts on through. And in actual fact, another wonderful example of this was, it was an amazing example, because I taught the first two classes are called the Empowering Yourself with Resonance Repatterning, and the second one is called The Fundamentals of Resonance Repatterning. So they're just a three-day, they're 3 days altogether, where people learn the absolute basics of this work and how to do it on themselves and other people. And one student, she went home and her friend phoned her up and said, did you learn something this weekend that could help my child? We're in a crisis. Now, her child had tried to commit suicide many, many times, and he was only 8 years old.
Gosh.
And he had been, the friend said, he'd been to about 100 psychologists and psychiatrists. And this time, over the weekend, he'd attempted to commit suicide again, and he told his mother, if you take me to another psychologist, I'll do it. I don't want to go to any other psychologist. I'm finished. He didn't want to go. So the mother didn't dare phone anybody up. But she brought the friend. She said, "Would you come and do something? Because he trusts you. You're a friend." So this student went on over and said, "I'll see what I can do." So she muscle checked from the mandala, from the six things that underlie every problem we have. And the first thing she checked was orientation. And orientation is about being oriented towards life, oriented towards what brings love and energy to you. And then she muscle checked her finger and got, no, he didn't need orientation. Then she went to the second step on the problems into opportunities, the second step, which is problems into opportunities, and she checked, no, he didn't need that. Now, you'd think he would need problems. No, he didn't need anything on problems, which is where all the psychiatrists and the psychologists, they were focusing on the problem, and he didn't even need that. Then she went into intention, a new possibility. No, he didn't need that. Repatterning, and there are about, over 100 repatternings on very specific subjects, like parental repatterning and compensation repatterning and movement for life repatterning, all these wonderful repatterning. No, he didn't need that. And then she said, well, he needs a modality. Yes, he needed a modality. So he was going straight for some modality that would create coherence, which would bring his whole energy field into a higher energy state. Then she went through all of this. I've got the modality book. And by the way, the modality book is going to be available for anybody to buy. In the past, I've just made it available for students. But it's such a powerful book that I'm going to make it available for everybody. And I'm just editing the final version. And so people, again, can go to our website to get that if they'd like to.
Let me ask you a question there.
Yeah?
Are you saying that you use the modality book with the mandala?
Yes. So one of the steps on the mandala is modalities. So every session you do, you're always going to do a modality because that's what changes your resonance patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also use the modalities without going to the rest of the mandala, like with this child. So, yeah, he had a problem, and she went right to the modalities to energize his system. So all the modalities are things that will energize you. You can't go wrong with them. You know, whether it's a particular movement to integrate your brain hemispheres, whether it's a color, whether it's a sound to get your frequencies balanced out, or a energy contact, an acupuncture contact. So it has this universal list of modalities that anybody can learn how to do. So with her, she muscle checked from the modality book that he needed a sound. So then she went through the list of about 25 different modalities for sounds, and she came up with a particular sound called gobbledygook, which means that you talk nonsense. You don't talk with words. And so she and this little kid, they start talking gobbledygook. And she said within about 10 seconds, they were laughing so much, tears were pouring down their face. And they went on speaking gobbledygook for a couple of minutes, and then she muscle checked they were finished. And she checked anything else needed, got no. Muscle checking herself, got no, nothing else was needed. And then she said, well, I'll see you soon. He said, okay. And the next day, the mother phones up her, and says, what did you do? She said, I've just got my child back. He's playing for the first time with his toys. He's humming to himself as he's playing, and he just looks happy. And she said, well, we just did one modality. But, you know, all these psychologists, I suppose they get so serious sometimes. And, yes, it is a serious problem when you're trying to commit suicide. But the child just needed to get the joy of his child back, his inner child. He just needed that child sense back again. And, you know, obviously he's going to need many other sessions. But that was like the huge beginning.
Now, that's a wonderful story. You talk about using tuning forks to tune our body.
Yes.
Tell us about that, because that sounds quite interesting.
Yes, well, so tuning forks, again, it's one of the sound modalities. and you have, and they're very, very powerful. I kind of put tuning forks up there with the Color Your World glasses. But the tuning forks, these are a special stainless steel tuning forks, and we have what's called the Ohm tuning fork, which is kind of the universal frequency. And then we have tuning forks for each of the notes of the scale, C through B. And we also have what we call planetary tuning forks. These are the tuning forks tuned to the frequencies of the planets, which are kind of mathematically worked out. And tuning forks, then you'll muscle check which one you need, and you may need to hear it in one ear or both ears, or one ear, the other ear, or both ears. You may need to move it in the energy field. You may need to place it on an acupuncture point or a Jinshin point. You just, again, in the modality book, all the ways you use tuning forks are listed there. And so, for instance, one person, she had kidney stones, and the kidney stones were so big that they didn't want to sonically break them up, because she was then going to have to eliminate each of these little stones, and it was going to be agonizing. And they say kidney stones is like labor. It's very painful. So they said, you know, come back next week. We don't want to rush into this right now. So that week, she did a whole lot of sessions on herself for being able to effortlessly eliminate her kidney stones and the modality, and she kind of looked at what was underlying them and this, that, and the other, and she kind of changed her patterns, her resonance with these patterns. The modality she needed was tuning forks. And it was a particular note. I can't remember which note, some D or E or something like that. And she needed to move the tuning fork back and forth across her pelvis, which is interesting because the kidneys are on the back. They're not on the front, isn't it, so much. But she had to move it back and forth across her pelvis, and she had to do a positive action with it. She needed to do it 30 times a day for the following 5 days. So she did this 30 times a day. She just carried her tuning fork with her, and she just moved it back and forth a few times, and then, yes, she'd muscle check that it was complete, and she kept doing it for 5 days. And at the end of 5 days, she felt absolutely fine, and she knew that something had happened. Went back, they took an x-ray, and the technician taking the x-ray kind of gasped, and she said, what's happened? He said, I'm not actually meant to tell you. The doctor has to tell you. But she said, oh, go on. She said, there are no stones, none whatsoever.
Well, no.
And she literally, you know, of course, the sonic vibration the doctors do break up the stones into little lumps. But she used sound to powder the stones. So she eliminated powder and, you know, didn't even know it. Fascinating, isn't it? Yeah,
yes.
Just amazing.
It's amazing that it hasn't caught on very quickly.
Well, the thing is, you know, I at one point, you know, I spent the last 17 years developing this work and writing the book so that anybody could do it on themselves. And I thought that millions of people would want to do it.
Yes.
That was my vision, was, you know, all around the world, everybody be using resonance repatterning for their mental upsets and their emotional upsets and their relationships and their physical problems. But, you know, as with everything, you have to learn how to do it. And that's a commitment to yourself or your commitment to your family. So I realize that the students who come who are attracted to this, they really want positive change for themselves. They really want to help their family, their children, or their husband or wife. And then, of course, or they also want to help other people. They want to integrate it into a whole healing practice. But for a lot of people, it's, you know, it's work to learn. You have to learn it. You have to come and take the seminars. That's why I wrote Quantum Change Made Easy, because that has little exercises. That book, I go into what I call the nine principles of this work, resonance repatterning, and then at the end of each chapter, little exercises that people can gather together with their friends, and they can do the exercises with each other, where they are using more what their felt sense or their intuition to find out what modality they need. And so they could begin to get some results that way. And then if they get inspired, then they can take the Empowering and Fundamental Seminar, which are just 3 days, and that will give them a lot they can work with. But I find the people who really keep going with it are the ones who take all the seminars, because it keeps getting deeper and deeper and more exciting as you go, and you just get inspired to use it on yourself and your friends. But anyway, we've trained about 15,000 people, and people around the world that are doing it, and they're practitioners of it, and a lot of people, they don't really have time for that kind of study. They like to receive sessions, so I always encourage people to receive sessions and, you know, get your feet wet with the book, Quantum Change Made Easy, and then you can buy the modality book and use that, and then maybe more and more, as we move out into the world, more and more people will begin to use it quite naturally. Right. So it's all in the hands of the Lord, isn't it?
Yes. Now, we have a few minutes left, and you've mentioned your book. Mm-hmm. It might be time to tell people where that can be purchased from.
Yes, yes. Well, they're welcome to go to resonancerepatterning.net, and then you'll have the store and the supplies and the books, our e-store. And then they can see all the healing supplies we have, the tuning forks, the Color Your World glasses, and, of course, Quantum Change Made Easy is there as well. So they're welcome to go there. They can also actually get it on Amazon.com. So either of those two places, that would be the best place. And then also if they want to go to our website for receiving sessions, they can go there for that. And if you want to get your feet wet with studying the first few seminars, they can do that. Once a year, I teach the whole diploma training program, where I actually teach right from the beginning, the Empowering Seminar, right the way through the end, all 10 seminars. And so anybody who's really serious, they're welcome to get in touch with me at info@resonancerepatterning.net.
Right. Do you still do your free newsletter?
Yes, that's right. I forgot about that. We have the newsletter. I write a newsletter every month, and when you go to our website, on the left-hand side, you'll say sign up for the newsletter, and I give lots of hints and clues for physical health, hints for health. I give a talk, for instance, the last newsletter in May was all on peace of mind in our career. So I give different little articles that are very interesting for anybody to read. And plus special.
What about your radio show? Is that still going?
Yet, that one, I just don't have time to keep that going because I've got so much else I have to do.
Okay.
But they can go to the website, and I've got 52 shows that they can download. They can put it on their own website. They can listen to it. And that has repatternings that they can proxy into. So it's a very good way for people to start, where they can receive a free session through the radio show where I actually do it on people.
That's brilliant. I'm going to have to bring you to a stop now.
Good, Mike. This has been a great show. You asked very good questions.
Well, I think you're absolutely marvelous. You certainly know your own subject extremely well, which you should have all these years.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I hope this talk.
And I'm very pleased to have had you back again.
Wonderful. Well, I hope it makes
a
positive difference.
Minutes.
Wonderful. Terrific. Well, I hope it makes a positive difference in people's lives.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for coming on. Thank you. Bye.
All right.
Well, thank you, friends. Just to mention now, my guest next week should be Jack Alice, who is a spiritual teacher teaching on spiritual growth. And he's the author of a novel called Infinity's Flower, which is a tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of Ages. But although a novel, it's based on his knowledge of the 2012 prophecies and other information. So that should be very interesting. So thank you for being with me today, and I obviously hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all. Thank you.
Good. Hi, Mike.